Thank God for all the good singing today. I love the old Christmas hymns. And I'm thankful that people here at the church have the talent to sing them. I sing them, but they just don't sound the way they do when they sing them. But I still enjoy singing them. And those around me, well, I guess they just endure it. You have your Bible to Luke chapter number 1, and we're going to be turning to a few passages of Scripture. We'll spend most of our time in 2 Thessalonians, and so if you want to go ahead and find that, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and then we'll come back here to Luke, and I want to just share some things. The message this morning is the rest of the story. A lot of times we hear just part of the Christmas story. We don't hear the whole story. And so I want to talk to you about, well, the whole story, the whole thing, from start to end, kind of. But I want to tell you that it didn't end when Jesus was born. That's certainly what it didn't end there. Didn't even start there, really. I mean, you know, I guess Christmas did, because God became a man. And you say, well, that sounds kind of miraculous. It's because it is miraculous. God became a man. And the Word, as John 1 says, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God became a man. And He became the Son of Man and remained the Son of God. He always has been. He is, and He always shall be. And that's just something I can't wrap my mind around, but I'm glad that my heart sure has grasped it. Amen. And I've received it into my heart. And I trust that you have as well. That's really what this season is about. God became a man that He might draw us to Himself. And the only way you can be drawn to God, the only way you can have a relationship with God, is through Jesus Christ. It's the only way. Now, there's only one God. Amen. And a lot of religious people would agree with that. There's one God. But now the Bible also says that there's only one mediator between God and men. And that's the man Christ Jesus. And Jesus is the only way to find favor and forgiveness with the God of heaven. I hope you found your place in 2 Thessalonians. And now if you'll turn back to Luke chapter 1, I want to read these scriptures again. And I want to give you, well, the rest of the story, or part two, the first coming. We were talking Wednesday night about all the Scripture, and I didn't in any way even begin to touch the hem of the garment of all the Scripture that was fulfilled in the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there's a lot of Scripture being fulfilled even as we are meeting here today. And there's going to be a lot of Scripture that is yet to be fulfilled that has been prophesied along with the first coming, but it will be prophesied when Jesus comes again. The same Jesus that we are celebrating. Now, please hear me this morning. The Jesus that we have met here to celebrate that has come, we're celebrating the fact that He came. That same Jesus is coming back. Amen. Now, the world doesn't talk about that a whole lot, okay? They kind of lose touch with God and Jesus at the cradle. Some make it as far as the cross, but few make it into the throne. And I want to take you there today. Brethren, we're headed to a city. This world is not our home. See, Jesus came to a place that and made His home among us so that we could go to where He was and make our home with Him. That's why Jesus came. Because this world is not, listen, we're not fit to live forever here. Now, we're all fit for eternity, but no one is going to live on this earth forever. And so there's two destinations when you leave this world. There's heaven and there's hell. There is no purgatory. There is no intermediate state. And so we have decisions to make. And when Jesus came, He was born not only to live the life that He lived, but to die the death that He lived, and to take the sin of the whole world upon the cross in his body and bury them in the grave. Do you realize that? He resurrected, and when he resurrected from the grave, it was God's approval that he accepted the perfect sacrifice that Jesus offered for your sin and for my sin. And that same Jesus now, he's coming back. But this time he's not coming back as a babe to be born in a manger. He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Luke chapter number 1, that first Christmas, when the angel Gabriel approached Mary, he told her that Jesus was going to be born of her, that she was going to give birth unto a holy thing, which is God himself. I'm sure that this astounded Mary as we read in the scripture. It astounded her. There's a few things that I just want to point out before I get into the meat of the message. And that is this. First of all, in verse number 26, Gabriel was sent from God, sent to Nazareth, to the virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. I find it interesting that this angel, Mary never met him, been around him, knew everything about Mary, knew her name, knew she was a virgin. Heaven knows a lot about you. I want you to know that. God is watching. Now, the devil doesn't want you to think that. The enemy doesn't want you to know that God is keeping record, okay? The enemy doesn't want you to know that. But listen, heaven knows about you. So I don't know a whole lot about heaven. Heaven knows a whole lot about you. And I want you to understand that, all right? Because we have been conditioned to live in the sphere of this world only. But this world is not all there is. You're not only a body, you're a spirit and a soul. God has made you fit for eternity. And I want you to keep that in your mind this morning as we talk about how to prepare for the proper place in eternity. And so it says in verse number 28, the angel came unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou, not above women." And I want you to notice this. Mary was not blessed above women. She was blessed among women. All right? And so there are those who would erroneously say, well, Mary was something, you know, above women. She was, blessed above women. Well, the Bible nowhere teaches that. There's no room for Mary worship in God's economy. I want you to know that. She even confessed that she needed the Savior. And so in verse number 29, it says, when she saw him, she was troubled, and you would have been too. Not just that she saw him, but she was troubled at his saying. And cast in her mind, I'm in verse number 29, the salutation, what it should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." And she did, just like God said. She did. We talked about this Wednesday night. Prophecy after prophecy happened just like God said. Now, there's more prophecy that's going to unfold, and it's going to happen just like God said, and we're going to see that in just a moment. Look, if you would, in verse number 32. "And he shall be great," and he is, "and shall be called the Son of the Most High," he is, "and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Now, wait a minute. Hold it. This hasn't quite happened yet. It has in God's mind, but it hasn't as far as in the world as we know it and in time as we know it. And so here's the rest of the story, all right? So we don't talk about this at Christmas time. We talk about Jesus coming and Jesus being born. But now, wait a minute. He was born. He did live a life, a perfect life, in obedience to the will of God, his Father. He died a gruesome death as a sacrifice for all of mankind. He was buried, he resurrected from the grave, and he has ascended unto the Father, and he's coming back. And when he comes back the second time, part of that economy, part of that his coming back, we're going to find in verse number 32, the latter part of it, "the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." One day, Jesus Christ is going to set up his throne here upon this earth, brethren. Right. Amen. Amen. Understand that. So I don't think that's going to happen. Well, you know, I don't say this to be mean, but it doesn't matter what man thinks. God's going to do what God's going to do. God's not going to ask me, can he do it? God's not going to ask me to cast a vote on it. God's going to do it because he said he was going to do it. What I need to do is get in on what God is doing. You do too. In verse number 3, it says, "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." All right? And so when Jesus comes to make things right, he's going to set things right, and brethren, it's going to stay that way. Never to change. So we go to 2 Thessalonians now, and I just want to lay a few things on your heart. In 2 Thessalonians, we find, well, part 2. This same Jesus is coming back. All right? Now, we know about the first coming. You can be just a casual attender of church. You can be just someone who reads a little bit about the Bible. Well, and I don't say this to minimize it. It's just so. You can watch Charlie Brown and get a little bit of idea about what Christmas is about. They read the Nativity. You know, God sent His Son into the world. Jesus was born, and He came as a Savior to the world. But that's not where Christmas ends. Christmas doesn't end tomorrow. Christmas doesn't end when all the gifts are given and unwrapped and received. That's not where Christmas ends. There's more to the story. There's more than, okay, that's it, until next Christmas. Now, one day this is going to unfold in its entirety. And God is going to reveal and God is going to fulfill all of the prophecy. All of it's going to be fulfilled. As we sit and stand here today, just a portion of it's been fulfilled. And so Paul, the apostle, saved by the grace of God, writing to a group of people just like that seated here today. If you're saved in the grace of God, we're part of the church, the body of Christ. If you're saved and you're part of a local church, well, then you're part of a local church. If you're saved and you're part of Fellowship Baptist Church, you're part of this local church. And one day, the Apostle Paul went and he established a local church in this town called Thessalonica. That's why this book is called Thessalonians. This is the second letter he wrote unto them. And they were having some trouble. Somebody had told them they were living in the tribulation period. Well, there's a lot of people think we are, even today, living in the tribulation period. Others think, well, you know what, if we're not, it's soon to be. Look at the signs of the times and the way things are happening. And so the Apostle Paul said, I better write them another letter, which is called the second epistle to the church of the Thessalonians. And so we have 2 Thessalonians. And when he started this letter out, he addressed them, and then he said, if you look, he said, you're going through a lot. He said in verse number 4, he talked about persecutions. Look at the latter part of chapter 1 of 2 Thessalonians. Persecutions and tribulations. He talked about suffering in the latter part of verse number 5. And he said, you know what? He said, there's people in verse number 6. He said, God is going to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. He said, because you're a Christian. Many folks think, well, you know, I'll get saved and all my problems will go away and life will just be a bed of roses, right? Right? I'm just going to get saved and life is just going to kind of brighten up and nothing bad's going to happen to me. Hey, when you get saved, this is the greatest thing that ever happened to you in your life. The greatest day ever happened. Listen, the greatest day I've ever experienced in my life is when I got saved in the grace of God. October the 26th, 1980, my life did a complete 180. I received Jesus as my personal Savior. And brethren, I'm going to tell you, I haven't been the same since. When you get saved, your life changes. My life changed. If you got saved, your life changed. For if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things will pass away. See, then you'll begin to grow. And this is what Paul was saying. But then you'll face hardships. And there'll be some people come against you. And they won't like the fact that you're saved and that you're telling about the gospel and you're living for Jesus. And they'll try to shut you up. They'll even try to shut you down. That's right. They'll ridicule you. They'll mock you. They'll make fun of you. Say, well, I haven't had that to happen yet. Well, just stay tuned. It's going to happen. But now Jesus said, Paul said, he said, you just stick with it. God's got something special for your life. God has a special plan for you. But you can't faint under adversity. You can't be small in strength. You have to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. He said, so fulfill God's will in your life while you're left here. And then he made this statement, and this is the first thing I want to lay on your heart. Verse number 7, he said, to you who are troubled, rest with us. Now how are we going to do that? How are we going to rest when there's all this going on in our world? How are we going to rest when there's there's nation rising against nation, and there's crazy men that are leaders of nations, and there's incompetent men in leadership, and there's wars and rumors of wars, and there's thieves and there's thugs and there's vileness and there's wickedness and there's darkness all around us. How are we going to rest? How are we going to be calm? And that's exactly what Paul was telling the people at the church of the Thessalonians. Look what he said. He said in verse number 7, he said, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us." In other words, he said, just calm down now. Just calm down. Don't let this stuff get to you. Just calm down. He's telling the rest of the story. All right? He said, I want you to understand something. God's in control. Even when you think God's not in control, God is in control. Even when it appears that God's not in control, God is in control. Amen. And so he said, I just want you to relax. I want you to rest. I want you to be calm. I want you to stay focused. I don't want you to get caught up in all the political spectrum and think, well, you know what, I've got to get on a mission to where I have to march, and I've got to save America. Hey, listen, Jesus will take care of that. Amen. Jesus is going to take care of America. So what's he going to do? Well, I think he's going to judge her. I don't know about that, preacher. Well, you need to read the book. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And so this thing of Christmas is not all about pretty flowers and lights and presents and trees and stockings and Christmas carols, right? That's the way it got started, but this thing's, listen, it's winding down, brethren. It's winding down. Jesus has come. Jesus has lived. He did die. He did raise from the grave. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and he is coming back. And so Paul said, just relax. This is not the way this thing's going to wind up. He said, just fulfill your purpose. Stay in tune. Can I encourage you as a born-again child of God today? Please listen to me now. Can I encourage you? Stay in tune. Stay focused. Stay in the book. Don't watch more TV than you read the Bible. Don't watch more news than you read the good news. Say amen with me now. You'll get unbalanced now. You'll get unbalanced. And you'll start thinking like the world thinks, and I'll start thinking like the world thinks, and I'll start living a fretful and a fearful life thinking, oh my, what's going to happen? Exactly what God said was going to happen is going to happen. See, you stay in the book. That's the rest that we have. When we stay in the book and we stay in tune with God, then we realize, you see, God is in control. These things are unfolding exactly like God said they were going to. And so you look and he said, rest with us. Verse number 7. Let's look at something here. He said, I want you to tell you why you can rest and be calm. He said, Jesus is coming. Let's look at number 1. Who's coming? Who's coming? He said, the Lord Jesus in verse number 7, he shall be revealed. See, Jesus is coming back, brethren. Jesus, listen, God's not going to send an angel to get us. Jesus is coming back. Look at verse number 10. Verse number 10 says, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints. Jesus is coming. Jesus? Yeah. The one that we're celebrating, the fact that he came to this earth today, that same Jesus, the one that we're celebrating today, this Christmas day, him, we're celebrating the fact that God sent his Son into this world. He's coming back. Did you hear me? He's coming back. There used to be a time when the saints of God would pass each other in the highways and byways and they'd say, Maranatha! Maranatha! What do you mean, preacher? That means the Lord cometh. The Lord cometh. See, Jesus is coming back. And as born-again children of God, we need to keep this in mind. Yes, he came. Celebrate the fact that he came. There's nothing wrong with that. But keep your focus on the fact that he's coming again. Amen. Jesus is coming again. Stay in tune with that. Don't lose sight of that. Don't get caught up in the things of this old world. This world's going to pass away. But Jesus is coming again. I don't believe he's coming again. Well, are you celebrating the fact that he came? There were many didn't believe he was going to come, but he came. And there's, listen, there's many more that won't believe he'll come again, but he's coming again. There'll always be naysayers. There'll always be those that doubt the word of God. But don't you be one of them, you see. So we see the who. Look at the when. Look at the when. Verse number 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, not if the Lord Jesus shall be revealed. When? Brethren, Jesus is coming again. I want you to hold your place here and turn back to Revelation chapter number 22. This is the final book, the final chapter of the Bible. All through the Bible, Jesus, the Word of God says, Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming and he's coming back. Jesus is coming one time and then he's coming again. Jesus is coming the first time and then he's coming the second time. Listen, the prophets had a little problem distinguishing between his suffering and his glory. Between there, there's an interval. We're living there. It's called the church age. Read 1 Peter chapter number 1. Amen. We're in that interval from the first coming to the second coming. We're in that interval. God's calling out a people. It's called the church. You're part of it. You're part of prophecy. That's right. The Bible says that Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Paul wrote it to these same people. And we'll see it here in just a moment. But before he said that Jesus is coming in chapter 1 of 2 Thessalonians, in chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, he said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God. Amen. See, brethren, Jesus is coming again. John said it. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. John said, he's coming again. Peter said, he's coming again. Paul said, he's coming again. And here, Jesus said, I'm coming again. I'm coming again. See, we need to get excited about that. Jesus is coming again, brethren. So I'm excited about Christmas. I love Christmas. I do too. But I'm more excited about the fact that this same Jesus is coming back. Amen. This time it's going to be different, brethren. It's going to be different. Look, if you would, in Revelation 22. Look at verse number 7. If you have a red letter edition Bible, then this will be in red, because this is Jesus speaking. And he said, behold, I come quickly. Not I might. Not I could. He said, I'm coming. I'm coming quickly. And it's going to happen, listen, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. It could be today, brethren. Wouldn't it be something on the day that we're celebrating his first coming, that his second coming took place? Amen. Wouldn't that be something? Well, I don't know that God could do that. God could do anything he chooses, anytime he chooses, any way he chooses. God answers to no man, brethren. God answers to no man. And so he said here, he said, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecies of this book. Look down in verse number 12. And behold, Jesus said, I come quickly. And my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. He said that again. But he's not through. Look over in verse number 20. Oh, before this book closes out, before the canon of Scripture is closed, before God gets through and tells the last man that wrote the Bible, but the last chapter of the book, to lay down his quill and to write no more, he said, Jesus said, wait a minute, before you do, I got one more thing I need to say. And he said in verse number 20, he which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. And John said, amen, even so come, Lord Jesus. You see, Jesus is coming back. So number one, the who, Jesus. Go back, if you would, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. The who, Jesus. Number two, the when. Well, I just know it's going to be soon. I can't put a date on it. I just know Jesus is coming back. But notice this, if you would. Look in verse number 10. It says, when he shall come to be glorified in the saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. And that's hard for me. I'm going to try to get to this word, admired. It means wondered. It's to be wondered at. Okay, when Jesus comes, it's going to be something that's going to set people in awe. This is going to put people in awe. Just like the first coming. Those shepherds were in awe when they found what the angels told them to go look. Those wise men, when they found Jesus, they were in awe. They fell down and worshiped him. When Jesus comes again, folks are going to be in awe. But there's going to be some things that happen that's going to put some people in awe. I like what Paul said here, and I don't want to spend too much time on this, but Paul said, you know, some of you, he said, you're going to be there. And he said, here's why. He said, because, look at the latter part, it's in parentheses here in verse number 10, because our testimony among you was believed. Oh, I'm so thankful one day. I am so thankful one day that I received the testimony of a Christian that Jesus saves. I'm so thankful when God used a human instrument to tell me that He would save me by His grace. I believed the Word of God that was being shared with me by the testimony of another Christian. I received that testimony. Because of that, I stand before you today, saved in the grace of God. Aren't you glad for the person who told you about Jesus? Amen. Thank God people still tell people about Jesus. Paul said, listen, he said, it's all happening because you believe my testimony. That's what he said. He said, you can rejoice. You can, listen, he said, first of all, you can, in verse number 7, you can rest with us. He said, now you know the truth. You don't have to go through life fidgety and wringing your hands and saying, oh my, what's going to happen? The sky's falling. What's going to happen to the economy? What's going to happen to the stock market? Oh no, rest with us. There's a God in heaven who's in absolute control. He's in control of your life. He is, if you're saved by His grace. You're one of His, you see. Now, if you're on the outside of that, you're not in a good place. You fend for yourself. That's right. It's a hard thing to do in this old world we live in, isn't it? But it's so. I want you to notice this word, admired. It means wondered. I'm going to give you just a few things that I think is going to be admired in this day. Do you see what the Apostle Paul just said? He said this. He said, when Jesus comes, he said that he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe. Brethren, when we get to heaven, I think that we're going to just say, I am so glad that God loves sinners. So I'm glad for that now. Don't think you'll be glad for it like you are when you get to heaven, because you'll realize our faith will become sight. And you'll say, I'm glad that God loves sinners. Pastor Brandon was talking about the goodness of God. I don't know that there could be any more goodness of God displayed upon someone as that the God of heaven would look at somebody as I and say, I love you. That's good. God tells me He loves me many times a day. I just need to listen. God tells you He loves you. You may be here today and not even be saved. I don't know. But God's telling you He loves you. You say, well, how do you know God's telling me that? He just says it over and over again. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's you, my friend, believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Paul, when he was writing to the church at Galatia, writing about being crucified with Christ, he said, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. When Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus, he said, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, even also as Christ hath loved us and hath given Himself for us as an odor and a sweet smelling sacrifice unto God. John said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. See, brethren, we admire that. I admire that God loved me. You say, yeah, but preacher, you were unrighteous. You were just an old drug addict. I know that, but God saved me anyhow. Amen. See, I admire the fact that God loves unrighteous people. But I'm going to tell you something. You may not have taken a drug in your life. You may have never taken a drink of whiskey, never smoked a cigarette, never done anything that you felt like was really wrong. You may be self-righteous. God not only loves unrighteous people, God loves self-righteous people. God loves you. You might think, well, you know what? I deserve to go to heaven. No man deserves to go to heaven, but God in His goodness will take you there if you will trust Him and His grace. So I'm here to tell you, brethren, we get mixed up on this thing. We think, well, you know, the only people that God saved is those old drunks and those old gutter bound and those old drug addicts and those old thieves and those old liars. Yeah, folks just like you, but you don't realize it yet. You're self-righteous. One day God will show you your unrighteousness, and all of your righteousness is a filthy rags. That's right. You'll never get saved until you see yourself lost. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for God's love. We're going to wonder at that. We're going to wonder at that. Not only that, brethren, we're going to wonder at His grace. Sitting in the chair up here, and I thought about this song. Oh, the grace of God, brethren. The grace of God. That bringeth salvation, Paul wrote in Titus chapter 2, hath appeared unto all men. It's by grace that you're saved through faith. I'm glad that God didn't say, now, Dale Freeman, I'm going to have to give you an IQ test before I save you. I'd have flunked it. See, God didn't ask me to do anything but believe. Notice what the Scripture says here. Look at it now. Right here in the Word now. Again, it says here in verse number 10, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired unto all them that what? Believe. Exercise your faith in His grace. The Bible says that you can be saved. That's right. Grace. Paul said that where grace did abound, or where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? We're talking about admiring some things about Jesus' second coming. Brethren, when we step foot on yonder shore, you're not going to be able to contain us. Folks sit in church and they act like they're not going to heaven, but I guarantee you when you get there, you're going to know you're there. Say, I don't shout, preacher. You will then. Amen. Heaven's going to be so loud that this is going to sound like the voice of many thunders, the Bible says. There's going to be people shouting the victory, saying, I made it, amen, by the grace of God. I'm in heaven, amen. I'm in heaven, amen. See, that's the way Christmas ought to be celebrated. We're going to heaven. That's right. Why? Because Jesus came. Amen. Well, when are we going to get there, preacher? Well, we might get there by way of the grave, but now we might get there through His second coming, when He comes again. Could be today. Wonderful grace of Jesus, taking away my burden, setting my spirit free, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful, the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea. Wonderful grace, all sufficient for me, for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise His name. Why? He's a God of grace. I want to give you one other thing and then we'll move on. You know, I'm glad that when you get saved, you don't have to worry about losing your salvation. Listen to me now. The God that saves you is going to keep you. You didn't get yourself saved, and you're not going to keep yourself saved. Now, I want you to listen to me now, brethren. Christian folks, please listen to me. There's a lot of folks think, well, I'm just trying to hold on, preacher, and it's getting harder and harder. Listen, if God couldn't keep me saved, I doubt God could save me. Amen. Who's your trust in? You might have your trust in the wrong person. If your trust is in you, you're not going to make it very far in life. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge Him. He'll direct your paths. We're kept by the power of God, 1 Peter 1:5. Aren't you glad for that? Kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You're going to be here if you're saved. Right here. Look at verse 10. When He shall come to be glorified, look at this, in His saints. So that's the way God views you. Say, preacher, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. I know that. I am too. Now listen to me. But you know the way God sees you? You're one of His saints. Listen to me now. You say, but preacher, I know me. Yeah, I know. God knows you too. But see, when He sees you, He doesn't see you as you are. He sees you through the righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ. You made an exchange the day you got saved. You placed your sin on Christ, and God placed the righteousness of Christ and placed it on you. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Still in the book. Well, I've got to move on. My time's about up. Jesus is coming back. So don't listen. Don't be disturbed is what He's saying. Just relax. Go back to 2 Thessalonians. Look at chapter number 1 here. He said, just rest with us. Stay focused now, Christian. Stay focused. Don't get caught up in all this stuff in the world. It's okay. We're in the world. Don't misunderstand me now. We're in the world, but we're just not of it. Stay focused on the world that is to come. That's right. Keep your feet on earth, but keep your eyes on heaven. Set your affection on things above. Right? Number two. Look at verse number, chapter number two. Look at verse number three. Let no man deceive you by any means. So we're not to be disturbed. He said, rest with us. But now don't be deceived. I'm not going to go into this into great detail, but I am going to just shed some light here. There is a system in this world that is hard at work against God's work, God's people, God's word. You understand that? It's called the system of Antichrist. It's very real. It's very real. It's called, here in this passage, it's called the mystery of iniquity. Look, if you would, in verse number 7 of chapter 2. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. See, there's coming an Antichrist. Now listen to me now. There's coming an Antichrist. He's called the man of sin. I find it interesting that he's called that. The man of sin. See, the way that this thing got started, we're talking about the sin of man. Now listen to me. Adam. And Adam plunged all of mankind into darkness by his sin. And so it gets started with the sin of man, but you know how it's going to wrap up? The man of sin. That's right. It's going to come full fruition. And there's coming an Antichrist. He's very real. You say, oh, now, preacher, I don't believe that. It doesn't matter. God said it's going to happen. It'd be good for you to take God at his word. He's called that wicked one. Look, if you would, in verse number 3 of chapter 2. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. You think there's been a falling away? You think there has? You think that churches are watering down the word of God? You think so? You think that leadership in our churches are condoning anything? Won't preach against sin? Sin, brother. I'm just going to say it. Listen, you can get mad. I've got folks mad at me right now, but listen, I don't preach to make people mad, but if my preaching makes people mad, they get mad at the Bible. They're going to have to take that up with God, not me. I'm preaching the word. There ought not be somebody that's living in homosexuality and a sodomite standing behind the pulpit. Don't tell me you're saved and you're practicing sodomite. Get that out of here. Somebody say amen with me right there. Listen, God loves sinners, and I'm glad that he does. And he'll save sinners. Say amen now. But if you're an adulterer, if you're a sodomite, get out from behind the pulpit. Amen. Amen. Don't you be standing up trying to tell people, you know, how they ought to live. And there's denominations, even among Baptists, that are ordaining sodomite. You say, what's a sodomite? It's a homosexual. It's a queer. It's a lesbian. All right? You with me? That's right. And they're ordaining them into the gospel preaching ministry. There's a falling away. You say, well, you act like you don't love people. I love people. But I love the truth. He said, let no man deceive you. Look at it now. Verse number 3. By any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Got to get people believing that everything's okay before this man of sin can be revealed. Brethren, we're being set up. I want you to hear me now. This snowflake, woke culture, this cancel culture. Hear me now. It's all part of the mystery of iniquity. It is. It's preparing us. It's conditioning us to not take a stand against sin and to water down the Bible and not be, quote unquote, offensive. Don't say anything that offends anybody. Well, Jesus said, listen, it is impossible. Read Luke 17. It is impossible, but that offenses will come. Now, I don't want to do anything purposely to offend somebody, But now, if there's people living in sin, if you're a thief and I get up here and say that no thief shall inherit the kingdom of God, you say, well, that offends me. Well, now you're going to have to take that up with God. You see? That's the Bible. That's the Bible. That's all part of Christmas. You say, how can that be part of Christmas? Everybody thinks Christmas is lights and decorations. Can I tell you the first Christmas, all the babies from 2 years old and under got murdered. There's a darkness to Christmas, brethren. I want you to understand that. And it's still around. That darkness still looms, and I want you to understand that, please. So what can I do? I'll close right here. What can I do? Paul said in verse number 5 of 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, he said, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Paul said, I told you. And brethren, I'm telling you, one day when I'm long gone, and some of you young folks are grown, you're going to say, you know what, that preacher told us. I hope there's another one that'll follow me that'll tell you too. He told us this was coming. Setting up for the Antichrist. Believing the lie. That's what's going to happen. Strong delusion's going to be sent. Let's read it. Verse number 7. Well, let's read verse number 6. And now you know what withholdeth. I want you to underline that word what. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. There's a what and there's a he. I want you to underline those two words. The he is the Holy Spirit. The what is his work, which is the church. That's you, that's me. We've been left here to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Okay? God expects us to live right. God expects Christians to live holy. Amen. Yeah. God wants us to live right. It's part of our testimony to a lost and dying world. It sure is. And he said, you've been left here for that purpose. God saved you to live for him. God doesn't save us to live any way we want to live. God saves us to live for him. And so he said, until he be taken out of the way, and one day the Holy Spirit, the church, is going to be taken out in the rapture. Verse number 8 says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You say, preacher, that doesn't sound like a very positive message. Well, the positive message in that is that you can be saved. You don't have to experience that. God sent Jesus, the very reason that we're celebrating today on the first Christmas, that you could be saved by his death, burial, and resurrection, and you wouldn't have to be a part of the judgment that's coming on this world when Jesus comes again. When Jesus came the first time, the world judged him. But when he comes again, he's going to judge the world. I want you to understand that now. And let's not get this thing confused that, well, Christmas and this thing's over. Tomorrow Christmas will be through. No, Christmas is going to, listen, it hasn't been completed yet. He hasn't set up his kingdom. Remember how we started this, all right? His kingdom's going to be set up when he comes back. And so don't think, well, Christmas is over. We've unwrapped our gifts. We've exchanged our gifts. And now it's over. It's not going to be over. The rest of the story, there's a part two to this, and it's lingering until Jesus decides he's coming back. You say, well, preacher, as you stand to your feet, as you close today, preacher, could you tell us when he's coming back? I'm going to, so I want you to listen very carefully. I'm going to tell you when Jesus is coming back, according to the Bible. You listening? Soon. He said, I come quickly. All right? So you don't have a date for us? No man knoweth the day or the hour. Only liars give you dates and hours and That's right. False prophets. Stay in tune, folks. Enjoy the day. Celebrate the fact that he came. But keep your eyes and your heart focused on the fact that he's coming again. All right, let's bow our heads together.